You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, I've got some good news for you today. Who wants some good news today? The good news, come on, yes, the caffeine is kicking in, the Holy Spirit is here. Caffeine plus the Holy Spirit, I love it. So I got some good news for you today. It seems that we are starting to win the battle against COVID. I say that cautiously, but the numbers are going in the right direction. More people are getting vaccinated. Things are starting to open back up. I heard that the travel quarantine is being lifted off of New York State April 1st. Hallelujah. That means we can all go to the beach in Florida and worship the Lord together. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen, somebody. We are going in the right direction. But everywhere we go, we are being reminded to stay vigilant, right? The other day, I was in the park and there was signs everywhere saying, hey, COVID is still a threat. COVID is still a threat. Stay vigilant. You know, socially distance. Wear a mask. Wash your hands. Now, for those of you who weren't washing your hands before COVID, I'm just saying, wash your hands, people, please. It's New York City, for crying out loud. It's like millions of us living here, okay? But the message is to stay vigilant, right? Like, don't let your guard down. We're not out of the woods yet. We're in a battle. There's still a fight here, and we're not quite out of the woods just yet. But today, I want to talk to you about a different kind of apathy, because it's a different kind of battle that we're in, and I want to talk to you about a different kind of apathy that we often find ourselves fighting, and it's the battle against spiritual apathy. And it looks a little something like this. For some of you today, you might say, Pastor Jeremy, I don't feel as close to God as I used to. For some of you, coming to church, getting to church may feel like a chore. Church online, some of you might find yourself only watching like every few weeks, and it's really hard for you to stay tuned in. Some of you might say, Pastor Jeremy, I used to love to spend time in God's Word, but I just can't even seem to find time right now to crack open my Bible or open up the Bible app. I used to love to just put worship music on, and if I'm honest with you, Pastor Jeremy, something's going on inside of me. I don't even miss it. I feel like I've drifted. I'm battling some spiritual apathy, and we've all been there before. We've all been there before. My question for you today, church, is have you been vaccinated for spiritual apathy? I'm here to help you today. I'm here to give you a little dose of vaccination to help you with spiritual apathy. So today we're on our journey to the cross, right? We're in this series. We're journeying to the cross together in this season of Lent as we prepare our hearts for Good Friday in just a couple of weeks. And then, of course, we're going to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus at Easter. Looking forward to Easter in just a few weeks. But this is a season of self-reflection, isn't it? This is a season of repentance. This is a season to be reminded of all that Jesus gave for us, that he gave his life for us on the cross so that we could experience new life in him. This is a season to shake off the spiritual apathy. This is a season to kind of wake ourselves up and to shake off the spiritual apathy and lean into what God is wanting to do in our lives. What do you do when you find yourself battling spiritual apathy? I'm here to help inoculate you today. Come on, roll up your spiritual sleeve. We're going to give you a little shot of something today to help inoculate you from spiritual apathy. If you're ready, say, Pastor, I'm ready. Come on, we need this today. Church online, you need this today. Trust me. We know you're half awake, drinking your coffee, in your pajamas. Let's get locked in this morning, okay? So today we're going to look at a story where the disciples were literally falling asleep on the job. Talk about spiritual apathy. Now, this is in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. Let me set this up for you. This is Thursday night of Passion Week, the final week of Jesus' life. Like, this is the very night when Jesus would be arrested, he would be tried, he would eventually be crucified. This is the night where Jesus shared the Last Supper. He observed the Passover meal with his disciples. Very special night. And afterwards, Jesus goes with his disciples to a garden called Gethsemane, one of his favorite places to go and pray. So let's look at this. Mark chapter 14, verses 32 through 42. Here's what it says. They went to a place called Gethsemane. Gethsemane, by the way, is a Hebrew word for oil press. This was a garden at the bottom of the Mount of Olives. This was a place where they pressed the olives, the place of pressing. Remember that. So they went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said to them. Stay here and keep watch. Somebody say, keep watch. Verse 35, going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, which is like daddy, very close term here. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? So his name was Simon Peter. Peter was a nickname that Jesus gave to Peter. Are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. Listen to this phrase. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Once more, he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, three times, he said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Enough! The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man, which is a term Jesus used to refer to himself, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let's go. Here comes my betrayer. Have you ever been so tired that you were literally fighting off sleep, but it just overwhelmed you? Ever been there before? Like maybe you were in at work or, you know, at school and you had that afternoon slump, you know, that post-lunch afternoon slump and you're just dozing off at your computer. Or maybe you were driving and you were just so tired you had to pull over at a rest stop because you were going to like run off the road. Or maybe even dozing off in church. Come on, dozing off in church is the worst because right about the time when you're nodding, somebody starts clapping and you wake up and you're like, amen, right? Like you don't know what's going on. You don't know what you missed. It's the worst. It's like the Holy Spirit hits you. You wake up. Say amen. This is what's happening to the disciples in this story, right? Like they're with Jesus and they're supposed to stay up and keep watch with Jesus and pray, but they are being overwhelmed by sleep. Now, I can identify with the disciples' pain because when I was in Bible college, I actually, my very first job at Bible college, the first year of college was, I was a security guard. And I know looking at me today, you feel safe already just knowing that your pastor was a security guard. When you see my imposing physique, I know it just makes you feel safe already. I was a security guard, and I used to work the overnight shift, the graveyard shift. It started at like 1 o'clock and went till 9 o'clock in the morning. I would do that on the weekends on a Friday night. And the most difficult thing about the job was just staying awake. Because here we are at this little small Bible college in Texas. There wasn't much going on. We had a curfew. So like nobody was even supposed to be out after hours. After you locked the place up, there was like nothing to do. So the most difficult thing was just staying awake. And so we would go to the cafeteria. Come on, we had the keys to the cafeteria. We would go to the cafeteria and raid the ice cream cart. We would go to the gym and shoot hoops in the middle of the night. We would take the security car and do donuts in the parking lot. Like anything was better than going back to the guard shack and just trying to fight off sleep. And then, of course, you know, you would get to the wee hours in the morning, you know, that home stretch especially, you know, like 6 o'clock when you haven't slept all night and just fighting off sleep. So I feel the disciples' pain. Back to our story for just a moment here. Christians have believed for 2,000 years that Jesus was fully human and fully divine. And this is probably the greatest example of the humanity of Jesus that we have in all of the Gospels. Because in this passage, Jesus was going through the toughest time of his life. Like Jesus knew what he was about to face. Jesus knew he was about to face the cross. He was going to experience terrible physical torture as a fully human being, fully God, fully human. He knew what he was about to face. Jesus knew he was about to take on the sins of the world. What a dark moment. Jesus knew he was about to be forsaken by the Father. He was going to die. And he was in agony because of what he was about to face. Verse 33 says he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. Verse 35 and 36, Jesus falls to the ground and he prays, take this cup from me, Lord, if it's possible, if there's some other way, take this cup of wrath that I'm about to drink, if it's possible, but not my will, your will be done. The Gospel of Luke, in his version, he tells us that Jesus' sweat was like drops of blood. Jesus was suffering. And like any of us, he just wanted the people who were closest to him to be with him. Come on, how many of you know when you're going through a difficult time, sometimes you don't need anybody to say anything. Sometimes you don't need anybody to do anything. You just need somebody to be there with you. And that's what was happening with Jesus. He was here with the inner circle, his closest disciples, Peter, James, and John. And Jesus asked them to do one thing, just two simple words, but powerful words. He asked them to keep watch. Come on, somebody say, keep watch. Church online, somebody type it in the comments, keep watch. Jesus asked them to keep watch and to pray with him. And at the moment when Jesus needed his disciples the most, what did they do? They fell asleep. They fell asleep. Jesus comes back to check on the disciples, not once, not twice, but three times. And all three times, each time Jesus finds them asleep. Church, here's what I want you to know this morning. You can put this in your notes. It's possible to follow Jesus but fall asleep on the job. Come on. It's possible to follow Jesus but fall asleep on the job. It's possible to be a Christian and to drift from your relationship with God. It's possible to give in to spiritual apathy. It's possible to be distracted when God has a purpose for your life, a plan for your life, a mission for your life, people around you who need you, a family who need you. It is possible to follow Jesus and fall asleep on the job, overwhelmed by the weariness of spiritual apathy. Now, some of the security guards that I work with in college actually got fired because our supervisor found them sleeping in the dorm on the job without excuse, just like the disciples, right? If I was Jesus, I would have fired the disciples. I'd have been like, that's it, I'm done with y'all. It's been 3 years, right? Look how much I've done for you. You've been with me through all of this stuff, and when I need you the most, you fall asleep on the job. You bunch of bums, get out of here. I would have fired them all right there. But here's the interesting thing. Jesus didn't ask the disciples to do anything besides keep watching and pray. He didn't ask them to scout the enemy and sound the alarm and be prepared to defend him. That's what I would have done. Like if your pastor was in the garden with the church staff and the trustees and they were coming at me, about to arrest me and try to kill me, I'd be like, Pastor Don, you go over in the bushes over there. I need you running scout. I need you to be looking out. Pastor Dave, here's a 9mm. If somebody comes, just start shooting. Shoot first, ask questions later. I'm just telling y'all. I grew up in New Orleans. I've been shoot first, you know, ask questions later. Like, I'm not going down without a fight. Pastor Jim, you got my back, right? That's not what Jesus does. That's not what Jesus does. Can you imagine Pastor Jim fighting somebody? Come on. Pastor Jim would hug somebody to death. Come on, Pastor Jim. We know you're watching. They wouldn't attack me because you'd walk up and hug them at the front door. They couldn't get past you. They'd be like, we're sorry, we're not going to arrest you. It's Pastor Jim. What can we do? But Jesus doesn't ask them to do any of that. In fact, when the mob shows up, led by Judas Iscariot, right, the disciple who betrays Jesus, Jesus doesn't put up a fight. He doesn't do anything. He goes peacefully, right? He actually says to the crowd, like, why are you coming at me with, you know, clubs and knives and trying to arrest? Like, I was in the temple every day preaching. You could have arrested me then. Why are you trying to come take me with a mob? He doesn't put up a fight. Jesus doesn't even resist. So what was the point of all this? Like, what is going on here? What can we learn from this episode? A few observations, all right? If you're taking notes, you can put these in your notes today. Number one, here's the first thing. Sometimes following Jesus means suffering with him. Come on, sometimes following Jesus means suffering with him. Suffering with Jesus. Jesus invites Peter, James, and John, his inner circle. I know you're not supposed to have favorites, but these were his closest three who had been with him from the beginning, his inner circle. And he invites them to share, get this, in his greatest moment of suffering. Now, they had been with Jesus during the brightest spots of his ministry. They had been with Jesus when he preached the Sermon on the Mount. They had been with Jesus when he fed the 5,000. They had been with Jesus when he healed the blind, when he raised dead people, brought them back to life. They had been with him in the brightest moments of his ministry, but now he needed them in his darkest moment. Come on, sometimes following Jesus will mean suffering with him. I know this isn't popular today. I know this isn't the part of the gospel that we love to hear, right? I mean, we love the part about blessing and salvation and God's provision, but this is part of our calling. Like, I came to church to tell you the truth today. I know this isn't popular, but I have a responsibility as your pastor, as your shepherd, to let you know that sometimes following Jesus It's not going to be comfortable. Sometimes you're going to be invited to share in his suffering. I wish I could tell you this morning, church, that you'll never face any persecution for your faith, but you will. At some point in time, somebody at work is going to hear that you're a committed Christian, and they're going to have preconceived notions about you. It's going to happen at some point in time. I wish I could tell you that you'll do the right thing and people will never take advantage of you, but somebody will. If you walk with Jesus long enough, this is going to happen. I wish I could tell you that when you give of yourself, people will always appreciate it, but somebody won't. I wish I could tell you that you'll love people and they'll never hurt you, but guess what? Somebody will. Somebody will. If you follow Jesus long enough, you're going to experience some pain. This is part of being a follower of Jesus. I'm helping you today. I don't want you to be disappointed. I want to set you up with proper expectations, okay? If you're new to church, if you're just starting this journey of following Jesus, I know you're on the high right now. It's wonderful when we get saved, when we fall in love with Jesus, when we sing the songs, you know? But at some point in time, you're going to experience some pain. Jesus invites you into it. Can I tell you, Amy and I have discovered this? Amy and I know you see us up here and it all looks like really wonderful, but Amy and I have experienced this as we've served God in ministry over the years, you know, in pastoring. We try to love people. We try to treat everybody the right way, right? Try to do things the right way. But every now and then, we can't live up to somebody's perfect expectations of what a pastor should be, right? People have this like perfect expectations of what a pastor should be. And it doesn't happen often, but every now and then somebody gets disappointed with us and they leave the church. And guess what? It always hurts. It always sucks. It never feels good. It never feels good. You know, sometimes your pastors feel like quitting too. Did you know that? Come on, I'm just keeping it 100% today. I'm keeping it real. Sometimes pastors feel like, I'm done with church. I'm done with all these Christian people. Come on, ministry would be great, Lord, if it was just me and you, but it's all of these people who drive me crazy, complaining about stuff, right? Like, pastors feel that way sometimes too. We get hurt too. We're just like the rest of you. Pray for us, all right? Pray for us. But as a follower of Jesus, I'm called to keep watch. As a follower of Jesus, I'm called to keep watch with him. And sometimes that means I'm called to share in his sufferings. You know, we so often think about giving our burdens to God. We like the sound of that, right? Giving our burdens to God. We come to worship, we lift our hands. For some of y'all who are wondering, what is that all about? It's a symbol, right? God, I'm surrendering to you. I'm giving my life to you. I'm giving my burdens to you, my pains, my worries, my doubts. We love the idea of giving our burdens to God. But what about the burdens that Jesus is asking us to carry for him? There are some things, there are some pains, there's some heaviness, there's some suffering that Jesus is calling us to carry for him. Like, are we pained by the things that pain the heart of God? Let me give you a really fresh example. This week, right, we've had this tragic shooting. This 21-year-old white guy, you know, guns down 8 people. Last I heard, the count was 8 people. 6 of them were Asian women. Now, I am a white male in this country, right? I'm not Asian, but I'm called to enter into the pain of the Asian community, to feel that pain, because guess what? That's the heart of Father God. He feels that pain, because every person is created in the image of God. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight, and he gave his one and only son for them. So I don't have to be Asian to feel that pain. No, as a believer, I want to be connected to the heart of Father God, to hurt when he hurts, to feel what he feels. Amen? Come on. And so I want to say to my Asian brothers and sisters, like, we love you, and we're so glad you're part of our church family, and we're better for you. And I know it's a cliche meme that's going around right about now, but I just think it's powerful that being Asian is not a virus. Racism is a virus. Gun violence is a virus. Hatred is a virus. We got some viruses in this country that are much worse than COVID that we need to work on. And the Church of Jesus Christ needs to lead the way. Be a voice of healing, a voice of reconciliation. But you can't make a difference if you're not willing to enter into someone else's pain, to get uncomfortable. There's some conversations that we need to be having in the church and in this nation, and it's going to cause us to get uncomfortable and to feel someone else's pain. And it's not going to feel nice, but that's what we're called to do, to have the heart of Father God. Let me just tell you something. Anybody can follow Jesus in the good times. Anybody can follow Jesus in the good times, but it's in the seasons of Gethsemane that you find out if you're really a disciple. It's in the place of pressing. Jesus was in the olive press. He was in the place of being pressed. He was about to go to the cross. There was nothing comfortable about it. There was nothing wonderful about it. The crowds weren't there anymore. The miracles weren't happening. Jesus wasn't preaching things that no one had ever heard before. Peter, James, and John got an invitation to go to the place of pressing, and that's where you find out what kind of follower you really are. That's where you find out. And so can you follow Jesus even when it means sharing in his sufferings, even when it means suffering with him? Here's the second thing, number two, a couple things that we learn in this story. Just 2 points today. You can write this one down. Number two, following Jesus requires us to be spiritually alert. Following Jesus requires us to be spiritually alert. See, in Gethsemane, the disciples were being tested. Would they remain spiritually alert? Would they stay prayed up? Look at this. Look at what Jesus says in Mark chapter 14, verse 38. He says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. How many of you know that's true? Our spirit wants to serve God. Our spirit wants to honor God. Our spirit, something inside of us, if you're a follower of Jesus, something in you wants to walk with him, but it's our flesh that gets in the way with all of its temptations, all of its distractions, all of its misplaced priorities. See, Jesus knew what the disciples were about to experience. Their faith was going to be put to the test like never before, and so he tells them to get prayed up. Get prayed up. You have no idea what you're about to face tonight. Let me just tell you this today, church. We would pray more if we really believed we were in a spiritual battle. Somebody needs to write that down today. Somebody tuned in the church online just to write that down. We would pray more if we really believed we were in a spiritual battle. Prayer comes really difficult because we don't really recognize that we're in a spiritual battle. Sometimes as Christians, we behave like we're on a cruise ship rather than a battleship. Come on. If you're on a cruise ship, what are you doing? You're sipping Mai Tais by the pool with the sun on you, getting a tan, taking it really easy, just relaxing. And sometimes we kind of do that in life. We're just kind of cruising through life, just kind of doing our thing. And why should I pray? Everything's good. There's money in the bank. I'm chilling, driving a nice car. You know, everything's great. You're not, as a Christian, you're not on a cruise ship. You're on a battleship. On a battleship, it's all hands on deck. Like, we need everybody, man your stations. Come on, the Apostle Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. There's a spiritual battle that's happening. Jesus understood his ministry as a showdown with the forces of darkness. When you're in a battle, you come locked and loaded. Come on, somebody. Where are my Bronx people? You're like, amen. Yep, that's right. Come on, right? Like, you come ready. You come ready. We're not on a cruise ship. We're on a battleship. So what happens? Back to our story. Because the disciples fail to pray, they fail the test. They fail the test. Not only do they fall asleep on Jesus in his greatest time of need, but when Jesus is arrested, they scatter. They desert him. Every different direction, they leave him. The Apostle Peter, who earlier that night pledged that he would go down, he would die for Jesus, he would go to the grave for Jesus, he denies Jesus 3 times. They scatter. In fact, if you read the Gospels closely, shout out to the women of the church, it's the women who stay faithful. It's the women who stay with Jesus at the cross. It's the women who go to the grave. The male disciples are hunkered down behind doors, scared to death. Come on, shout out to the ladies in the church. If you read the Gospel, the women stay faithful. The men are hunkered down in fear, scattering every direction. Peter, I'll go down to the grave for you. Denies Jesus 3 times. How many times have we made all these bold promises in church only to crash and burn? Make the big promise on Sunday, crash and burn on Monday. It's happened to me going home on the way home before. In the car, I'll confess. Come on. Why y'all think y'all need to pray for Amy? Pray for Amy. She's got to live with me. The disciples fail to pray and they fail the test. Let me just tell you something, church. If we're not strengthened by God's power, we're going to fail every time. We're going to fail every time. Do you really think you can make it in this walk with God, spiritually, just coasting through life? Just coming to church every few weeks when you feel like getting up. Church online, just tuning in every couple weeks, kind of halfway through the third song, checking out kind of early with your kids, making noise in the living room, spending more time scrolling social media than we do getting into God's word, spending more money at Starbucks than we do giving to the work of the kingdom of God. Like, do we really think we can make it in this life with God when we're in a spiritual war, when we're behaving like we're on a cruise ship rather than a battleship? Let me just say, we are going to fail every time, because in my experience, I don't know what your experience is, but we don't drift toward a closer relationship with Jesus. I've never found myself just accidentally getting closer to Jesus. I've never found myself just drifting toward a closer relationship with God, more locked into his purpose. No, in my experience, what happens is we get apathetic. In my experience, we drift toward temptation. We drift toward losing our purpose. And every now and then, I have these wake-up moments from the Holy Spirit where he shows me where I've drifted. where I've begun to drift from my mission, from my calling. I was up last night in the middle of the night. I couldn't sleep last night. I have no idea why. I took a Benadryl last night, and Lord knows I needed to sleep on a Saturday night before church. I was up for a couple hours, and I got out of bed and I went in the living room and just spent some time in praying. And I'm not trying to sound super spiritual. What else do you do, right? I was just wide awake and just felt like it was a little keep watch moment for me. Just a little keep watch moment for me. Just a little moment where God was showing me some places where I've drifted, and just giving my life back to him again, giving my heart back to him again, giving my family and my marriage in this church and this whole crazy COVID season we've been through, just saying, God, I want to love you with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my mind, all of my strength. And I just want you to know this morning, guys, this is real. This is serious, because during this COVID crisis, some Christians have fallen asleep. Like, we've lost some people. Yeah, we're gathering back together, and every week I'm seeing some faces that I haven't seen in months, and it's so good to see you, but we've lost some people. Some Christians have fallen asleep, and God is saying to us in this season, I want to do something new in you. I want to do something new in my church. I'm sounding the alarm, but some of you are sleeping. You're hitting the snooze button when the alarm is going off. God is saying, I've got more for you to do than ever before. There are more people hurting than ever before. There are more people around you who need the gospel than ever before. This country is broken, and you're sleeping through the alarm. Quit hitting the snooze button. It's time to wake up. Come on, church. I came here this morning to tell you it's time to wake up from our spiritual slumber. There's so much more that God has for us to do. So much more that God has for us to do. It's time to shake off our spiritual apathy and keep watch, because that's our mission. That's our calling. Church online, I want to just say a word to you for just a moment. Come on, can I just love you? Can I just pastor you? Somebody type in the comments, challenge me, pastor. Come on, challenge me, pastor. I'm here to grow. Church online, some of you, church online has been really great for you. It's kept you connected, and it's been really good for you. I know that there are some of you who are actually more connected than you were before. But let's be honest, for some of you, church online hasn't been good for you. A year later, if you're honest, you're not closer to God. And it's been so easy to kind of slip into this little slumber of just kind of watching church and just kind of consuming church. And I'm not guilt tripping you, because I'm so glad you're connected. But some of you who are watching right now, this is a moment for you to get honest between you and God. Like, is this the best thing for me? Some of you, like, you're at risk, or you're not coming back till you get the shot, or you're caring for a loved one, and it's the responsible thing for you to do to stay home. But for some of you, you know, like, this you've drifted. And I know we're all concerned about COVID, but let me just tell you, what is the value of your soul? Like, you got to get to church, whether you got to bubble wrap yourself or take a bath and hand sanitizer. Like, you got to get back. You got to get back. For some of you, as a father, as a husband, let me just tell you, you got to have a moment. Men, let me speak to the men. You got to have a moment where you say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. And let me just tell you, whether you're online, because I'm not picking on you this morning online, church, I love you. Whether you're online or in person, let me just tell you something. We have a responsibility to pray, to serve, to give, to be in fellowship with other believers, to share the gospel. Come on, church is not just something you go to. It's not just something you watch. Church is who you are. It's who you are. We're the church of Jesus Christ. We don't just exist to consume church. We're the church of Jesus Christ, and we exist for the world. That's who we are. That's our calling. And so it's time to do a self-examination for spiritual apathy today. How are you doing? Come on, how are you doing? Where are you at in this process, whether you're online or in person? Because you can be spiritually apathetic whether you're in person here this morning. It's time to do a heart check. Check for symptoms. God, am I passionate for the things of God? Lord, am I passionate about my time with you? Am I living day in and day out just recognizing that I have a purpose, that there's a calling in my life, that there's something you would have for me to do, that I'm called to keep watch for you, that there are people in my life? It starts with your family. Come on, some of you, parents, husbands, wives, right? Like, these kids you gave me, it's not just my job to get them educated and get them into a good profession, but it's my job to raise them, to steward them well for the kingdom of God. Like, I have a purpose. God, you didn't just give me this job. God, you gave me this job to be an ambassador for you so that I could be a person of influence for your kingdom everywhere I go. I'm not just here to go to church. I don't just watch church online. I don't just go to church every couple weeks. No, I'm called to keep watch. It's time to do a spiritual self-examination today, because we're always in one of three places. We're either drifting, getting closer to God, or we're somewhere in the middle. just kind of neutral. And neutral is not a good place to be either. We're always in one of those three places. Have an honest moment with yourself, just like the Holy Spirit had an honest moment with me last night in my living room at about 2 o'clock in the morning. Are you drifting? Are you falling backwards? Are you getting closer to him? Or are you just kind of staying neutral right now? And let me just help you today. You get inoculated from spiritual apathy by falling back in love with God and with his people. That's how you get inoculated from spiritual apathy. You fall in love with God all over again. Come on, married people. Come on, people who have been in a long-term relationship. What do you have to do? You got to go on date night every now and then. Come on. You got to kindle the passion, because over time it goes out. Come on, if you're married, you know what I'm talking about, right? You got to find ways to fall back in love all over again. It's the same thing in your relationship with God. The way you get inoculated from spiritual apathy is to fall back in love with God, and not just with God, but with his people, because he gave us a family. Whatever God is doing in this world, he's doing through his church. There's no plan B, there's no plan C, there's no plan D. This is plan A, and you've got to be a part of it. You got to be connected to it. And so as we close, let me just show you one final thing. Come on, I'm going to give you some good news. We're going to end on a positive note here. The disciples are falling asleep. They're tired. Their eyelids are heavy. They can't stay awake for nothing. The last thing they want to do is pray. Come on, you want to fall asleep, try to pray when you're tired. The enemy will help you fall asleep every time. Any of y'all ever been to an all-night prayer meeting before? I grew up Pentecostal. I'm just saying, it's hard to stay awake and pray all night. Notice something. Jesus keeps coming back three times. Three times he keeps coming back to check on the disciples. And they're asleep every time. Here's the good news. The disciples failed Jesus. The disciples weren't faithful to Jesus, but Jesus was faithful to them. Come on, he was faithful to them. Jesus is faithful even when we fall asleep on the job. He doesn't guilt trip you. He doesn't remind you of your past. He doesn't point fingers at you. He doesn't fire you like I would have fired the disciples. He's faithful. He's the God who keeps coming back to you. He keeps nudging you. He keeps sending his Holy Spirit to give you gentle nudges to wake you up. He's the God who comes to you when you're spiritually slumbering and he says, wake up. And today he's giving us a reminder. He's saying, don't fall asleep on the job. Don't fall asleep on your calling. Don't fall asleep on your purpose. Don't fall asleep on your relationship with me. Don't fall asleep on your church family. Don't fall asleep on the people who are around you. Keep watch. There's a calling on your life. There's a purpose for your life. Your life is too short and your calling is too great to be spiritually slumbering, overwhelmed by spiritual apathy. Come on, he's a gracious God. He's a loving God. He's a good God. He's a merciful God who keeps coming back to us. And this morning he's given us a wake-up call. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. He woke me up in the middle of the night last night, just drawing me closer to him when I need it. And he's doing the same for all of us today. Amen. Come on, would you stand with me? Would you stand with me? Church online, why don't you stand with us in your living room, where you are right now, as an act of solidarity, that we're standing before God today. You know, the part that pains me the most when I read this text, I saw this years ago and it stuck with me, is the part where it says Jesus came back the third time and the disciples didn't even know what to say to him. Didn't even know what to say to him. They were cut at the heart because they knew they had failed him. And we all have moments like that at times, don't we? We sinned yet again, falling back into that same temptation yet again. Same argument, lost our temper, lost our patience, looked at that, did this, whatever. And I know we've all been there before. We've all had times where we feel like we don't even know what to say. Like, here I am again, God. How'd I get spiritually apathetic again? How'd I get here? But I'm thankful for the mercy of God. I'm thankful for the love of God. I'm thankful for the grace of God, for a God who keeps coming back to us. He keeps nudging us, who keeps calling us back to himself. So would you pray with me? We're in this season of self-reflection. We're in this season of preparing our hearts. Next week, Palm Sunday, the week following Good Friday. Come on, this is a moment to just allow God to search our hearts today. Would you just bow your head with me? Bow your heart. Maybe you want to lift your hands today. And here's our prayer today. God, forgive us for the times that we've fallen asleep. Come on, forgive us, God. Lord, forgive us. Lord, today, collectively as a church family, online and in person, Lord, we're asking for your forgiveness for the times that we've fallen asleep on the job. When you gave everything for us. When you gave everything for us. When you gave us this new life. When you set us free. When you healed us. When you gave us new purpose. God, we drift sometimes. And Lord, today we acknowledge it. We acknowledge it. Lord, today take us back to our first love. God, take us back to our first love, to that moment when And we fell in love with you, God. When all we ever wanted to do was give our lives back to you. God, take us back to that place today. To know you better and to love you more, God. To love you with all of our hearts, our souls, our mind, and our strength. And to love the people that you've given to us. That's our prayer today. Lord, let us be those who keep watch for you, who enter into the discomfort, who enter into the pain that you ask us to carry because your heart is broken for a broken world. Lord, let us keep watch. Let us be spiritually alert. Holy Spirit, help us. We recognize today that our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. Come on, somebody needs to pray that today. Just confess that to God. Lord, my spirit is willing, but so often my flesh is weak. But God, I thank you that those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Father, do it for your people today. Every person under the sound of my voice, you are renewing our hearts, our minds. You are strengthening us today by your spirit. We thank you for it. We believe you to do it in our lives. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.